Hallelujah. That was good. All right. We're going to start with our continuing, I should say, with As He Is, So Are We in This World. We've been doing it for quite some time, but we're going to do a part two on koinonia. Koinonia. Now, I'm going to talk about what koinonia is. And last week, we talked about koinonia and how Christ was that example for us, our relationship with Him, and the koinonia that He showed us. And this is what koinonia is in the Greek. And it represents partnership, participation, spiritual intercourse, and communication, communion. Now, you know what? Let me just stop right there for a minute. You know, if you've ever read a good book or you've watched a good movie, that would be all well and good. You know, years ago, I liked Anne of Green Gables. Some of you may have watched that. It's a good movie and everything. A lot of men think it's silly, but, you know. Anyway, but let's say you watch that movie. Now, you decide, well, I'm going to watch it again. Well, nothing in that movie has changed. It's gotten to the point where if you watch it two or three times, eventually you'll be able to quote what each person is going to say and what's going to happen and in any movie. But there's a difference in the living Word of God. You can read it over and over and over and over, and you'll never get all of the information out of it, and you'll never know it all. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So the difference in having when it says have communication or information or participation and fellowship, when you have fellowship with the Word and you are reading the Word, then what will happen is you will get rhema knowledge. You can read, how many of you have ever read the same verse 50 times and all of a sudden one day you see something you didn't see before? You know why? Because that's revelation knowledge that is living Word, that when it comes into you, it will become out of you like living water. Do you understand what we're saying? It's very important for you to understand this is what koinonia is all about, that you never get it all from the Lord. You just want to get in there and get everything He has, where you want to have that spiritual intercourse, if you will. And it says, and the fellowship, and the communication, and the communion with the Word, where, man, when you get that revelation and you read something 50 times and all of a sudden it's like, wow, a light cut on and I never saw this particular thing before. And it gets you so excited, then it makes you wanting more. Well, that's not going to happen when you watch Green Gables or Anne of Green Gables, or when you watch Star Wars, or when you watch whatever men like, you know. But you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, you know, it's what's that actor you used to always watch his movies?
You talking about James Bond? Is that what?
No, what was the guy that it was good looking and he always had all these women and what was that movie? That movie? There were several of them, several movies. James Bond.
Who said that? I said James Bond.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
He likes y'all's James Bond better than my James Bond.
I didn't hear you say James Bond.
I did.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, but anyway, you can watch that 100 times, and nothing's going to change. It has no revelation knowledge. It has no wisdom. It has no impartation, if you will, that's going to change your life. I can tell you, James Bond ain't going to change your life. But anyway, but when you get into the Word of God, and when you meditate and you spend time communing with Him, you could take one verse and read it over and over and over and still not get everything out of it. One verse, not a chapter. I'm talking about just a verse. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts flowing through you in ways that you never even, it's like, oh my gosh. Then the more you do it, the more hungry you are, and you want to eat the Word. The Bible talks about eating the Word. And it becomes life. This is what we're talking about, koinonia with the Word. Koinonia, fellowship. Fellowship, it's joint contributing, and you're pouring out, you're praising Him, and you're loving Him, and you're thanking Him, coming with a heart of thanksgiving, and your Word literally comes alive, doesn't it? Well, this is what we're talking about, and that's what we're talking about with the koinonia and the relationship that we have with Him and the things that He has done for you. So now we're going to go back a little bit and talk about, you know, how we need to be like Christ. And the best thing that we'll talk about that is the humility he walked in Philippians chapter 2.
Okay, Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 4. It's talking about unity through humility. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, and let me just talk that about that just 1 second. Lowliness of mind does not mean unworthiness.
That's right.
It means seeing yourself unworthy. It means not blowing yourself up, expounding on yourself and thinking you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But in lowliness of mind, the way you see yourself is not to be beat down. You see yourself as a child of the King, child of Jesus. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or counsel, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. See, that's koinonia. That's not about being self-centered or self-focused or self-analyzing. This is about looking out for others and let this mind be in you. It's the same mind that was in Christ Jesus.
You know, and that's what that word fellowship in there, that's exactly what it translates as, is koinonia. So let's go on down to verse 5, and he's telling how you then need to be according to how he is, how Christ was. And it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's trying to encourage us, do this like I've done this, like I have shown you, like I have walked this out. You do this. And exalt others and do for others and be there for others and humble yourself and esteem others highly, just like what Jesus had done in the whole time that he was here on this earth. All right, so now we want to talk about being unequally yoked.
2 Corinthians, if you look there, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, does that mean you don't reach out to unbelievers? Does it mean that you shun unbelievers? No, it does not. But it's don't yoke yourself to them, because bottom line, there's a good chance they will take you down a different direction. And you don't want to be unequally yoked together. You don't want to be just like this together with unbelievers. You want to love them and speak life over them and do what you can do to help them, because it says the next verse, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So you're not to be yoked with them. And you know, it's not good for a believer ever really to marry an unbeliever. And well, if I marry them, you know, I'll be able to change them. Say like a woman thinking that, you know, once we've been married a while, they'll start changing things I can do to change them. You're fooling yourself, and you don't do that. You don't go into a marriage like that. You just, you know, you either become equally yoked or you drop or break off the relationship, unless you want a lifetime full of hardships. That's not very smart in doing so.
And that's why it says, for what fellowship? Again, that's koinonia, or communion. That's right. Koinonia. All of this is koinonia. So it's saying, just watch yourself. Don't go into business with unbelievers. Be careful what you do. I know of a situation where someone that was a Christian was owning a hotel and got a manager a general manager to come in, and that man was not a Christian. And before you knew it,
he also was in business with that a relative too.
That's right. But there was an unbeliever, and it failed because their money had been stolen and things had happened. It's just the Lord is just warning you: just be careful. Like Van said, that doesn't mean that you don't go and minister, witness, and reach out to those that are unbelievers. But you know, you want to watch and be careful who you connect yourself with. So, but let's look at the difference in, you know, when people come together in one accord, what happens? So if you look in Acts 2, verse 1, and this is, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in koinonia.
In one place.
In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, and then it goes on in the rest of the book of Acts, every time they came together in one accord and in agreement, signs and wonders followed.
That's right.
So this is how you have that koinonia of fellowship, when you come together with like-minded believers and you come together believing and expecting the great things from God. So that was really cool. So now we're going to give you a few other examples in the Bible of a koinonia-type relationship.
Look, if you would, please, Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship.
Koinonia.
That's koinonia. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Now, when it says fear, it means really
reverential
fear. Not the wrong kind of fear.
That's right.
Reverential fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
That koinonia fellowship. And the Lord added to the church. Okay, now let's look at this story about when the boat got filled with fish. Remember when the Lord told Peter, he said, you know, cast your net on this side. And he said, Lord, we've toiled all night. And it's like Javan's always said, you know, he couldn't understand that, you know, the disciples were supposed to be fishermen, but they never could catch anything without Jesus. You know, they never were catching anything. But anyway, it said the boat was overloaded when Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night, but nevertheless, at your word, I will do this, or we will do this. So when they had been fishing in that same spot, but they just put it on the other side of the boat. And so let's read what it said. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your net out for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, and this is in Luke 5, 4 through 7, I'm sorry. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, koinonia, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. This is what we're talking about.
Both partners that became partners, they signaled to them. They were already partners, but come on, help us out. And both of them began to sink. That's how big a catch it was. And they'd caught nothing all night long.
That's right. All right.
The power of multiplication.
And I think one of the greatest stories in the Bible that talks about the power of koinonia and how you are to be and how you are to express koinonia to others. You know, this right here to me is the best, and that's the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:30.
Luke 10:30, if you look there with me, please. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, who really don't get along with Jews, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil on and wine on him, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to them, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So that's koinonia. That's especially between two groups of people that don't normally get along. And somebody that considers themselves, you know, that they're enemies, we don't associate, we don't fellowship with, and that. But this man said, you know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. But he could have walked, he could have pretended all day long and walked down the same road and pretended like he didn't see him, but he didn't do that. He chose koinonia.
Yeah, it's so neat to me that in this story, he not only took him to an inn and got him off the street and helped bandage him and everything, but he told the innkeeper, listen, whatever you have to spend on him, I'm going to come back by and I'll repay you.
That's right.
This man wasn't that man's responsibility, but because of his love and his koinonia love to want to serve and to be there for this man who others had passed by, the priests had passed by and these others had passed by, and he said, you know what? I'm going to take care of this. I'm not just going to throw him in your lap, but I am going to come back and pay you the rest of what you need.
You know how he went out on a limb with this innkeeper? He said, take care of him and whatever. He didn't say up to this point.
That's right.
Now, once you get this point, cut him off after that. And I'll pay you back that up to that point. No, he said, take care of him and whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay you, whatever it cost. So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? Boy, I tell you what, no question. No question.
But the Lord said, then you go and do likewise.
That's right.
The Lord has all of these stories in the Word of God to teach us, to teach us and to train us how we need to be. And you know what? What goes around comes around. When you sow these things out for others, when you're in need, God will have somebody be there for you.
That's right.
How many of you know that?
Yes.
Man, we've had that happen over and over and over again. Because we were willing to give of ourselves, then God always had somebody give back unto us. It's really cool.
Sowing and reaping principle.
It is. And as long as the earth remains, there will be sowing and reaping.
Seed time and harvest.
Amen. All right. So, you know what? Then that brings us up to this verse, because what this man did is what it says in Galatians 2:6-2, where it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God, or the love of God. Do for others. Man, you know what? There's something so special about being a blessing to someone else. And oftentimes when you go and you do things like that, you get more out of it than they do. It just is refreshing. It just makes you feel good about yourself. It just makes you feel closer to God. I'm telling you, there's something about that. So here, you know, last week, our whole teaching on koinonia was about our relationship with Christ and his relationship with us and the koinonia there. Now we're talking about our koinonia fellowship with one another. Sometimes it's not as easy as it is to have koinonia with the Lord. But the Lord wants us, he said, go and do likewise with others. Shine that, be that light set up on a hill. Don't let your candle go out. Let the people see your light. You know, he's looking for people that will be there to minister reconciliation to others. So in 1 John 4:7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and literally knows God intimately. Like we said, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we're really talking about this koinonia kind of love. And in this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Do you know what, y'all? Sometimes we are the only Jesus, and understand when I say that people will ever see. Because he lives inside of us. Remember, it's no longer we that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And I say this verse all the time. In the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So we are that light to the world. That Jesus was the light to the world when he came, and then he passed on the baton to us. So that we are to be that light. And when someone is struggling, be there. Pray. And, you know, Van and I seek the Lord all the time and covet his gifts. Lord, give us the gifts, the spiritual gifts to flow in, so that we, when we meet somebody, we might have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic utterance or a tongue of interpretation or a gift of healing or a gift of miracles.
So that they can see the power of God demonstrated.
That's exactly right.
Demonstrated on their behalf.
You know, it's like the story that we told all about this young man named David, who was in Dunwoody many, many years ago. He was the biggest drug dealer in Dunwoody. Now, he was as clean cut as anybody you'd ever want to meet. And yet, this Christian police officer stopped him and found all these drugs in the car. And he looked at him and he said, "You know, I could arrest you right now." He said, "But I want to tell you about Jesus and I want to give you a second chance." No one had ever talked to David about Jesus. He had never stepped foot into a church building or a church service, or a house group, or anything. He had never been told about Jesus until this police officer came and told him about Jesus and gave him a second chance. Then that very weekend, he came to our church and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then after that, he went to Karis Bible College in Colorado. At that time, it was in Colorado Springs. And he ended up, he and his father, going out to India, starting Karis Bible College of India. And then he married a girl from Switzerland that was part of the Bible College. And then they went and started Karis Bible College of Switzerland. All because this police officer decided to be a light of Jesus and show koinonia to a young man who had fouled his life up royally. And do you know what was so amazing about this? David instantly was delivered from drugs and alcohol. Instantly. Instantly. He never had another issue. So I'm telling you, y'all, be that koinonia, Christ Jesus, and the light of Christ Jesus for somebody else. Man, everywhere we go, we talk to people about Jesus. We were having trouble with our internet service, And I believe we planted some seeds in showing the love of Christ. This man came. This was really kind of a miraculous story. All of a sudden, come Tuesday, Ben and I didn't have internet anymore. We're like, what in the world has happened here? And we had gotten fiber put in. I mean, you know what fiber is. We got fiber put in.
Oh, they put fiber in the whole neighborhood. And then they call you up and say, do you want fiber, you know? And everybody's yard was torn up for, you know, three months. And they made it look pretty decent when they put it back. But then they go on to another neighborhood and do that, and then they ask you if you want it. And I said, well, why not? It's a lot quicker and everything else. But somehow, when they put the fiber in, it was from off by the street when it came in. It was put in very shallow in the beginning. Now, when it went under the driveway and all that, it was plenty deep, and they used like a machine to put it in down low. But it wasn't like that in level. So when we used the weed eater up there, it gave it a little whack job on that deal. So,
cut that thing right in two. You know what I mean?
But it's amazing. And we called, and you know, we couldn't get through. And when we did get through, and we were
that took forever, four hours.
With I'm not even bringing the name of the company up, but anyway, we got transferred, you know, to another country, and you try to explain what the thing is, and
they didn't know what a front yard was.
What you were looking for and you needed. So can you transfer us back to a U.S. agent? And they got offended because of that. But I just needed somebody who would understand.
Well, then we had the computer voice. So we did the computer voice, and it was the same thing over and over and over. And the computer said, okay, do this. I'm going to run a test.
Customer service agent, what are you trying to say? You know, that's what the little thing would say. I'm trying to say, give me a customer service agent. And, you know.
So finally, we ended up with somebody that was in Texas. We were so thankful. And so.
After 4 hours.
This is 4 hours. Yeah, 4 hours. So anyway, we get this person, and she was so nice. And she said, I am so sorry for what you went through. And so she was going to put us down to be scheduled
put us down. She said, I've got you down for
Monday.
For between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. for somebody to come out there and take care of that. And, hey, we'll take anything at that point.
So anyway,
here's what happened. Yesterday, we were, we were thinking about Monday, and we've got all kind of stuff we got to get done on Monday and stuff. We thought, well, we won't even be near the house on Monday, and we don't know that they will come, not come, and there we are, another day without internet.
And Saturdays, we're usually at home preparing for today.
Exactly. So we were doing things, and all of a sudden,
text came in
and from this company, and they said the installer, yes, is
on his way,
to
and
we
went
house.
Yesterday,
yes,
it was yesterday.
Said,
we're like,
I said, showed Regina. She said, oh my, that's the Lord. And I said, yeah, mm-hmm. The Lord. Because I said, you know, we're home and we can monitor all this. And it's not like Monday would be if we wouldn't have a clue whether they came and went or whatever, except for internet not working when we tried it on Monday when we got home.
We weren't sure if it was going to happen or not. So we were standing outside.
So I just, after a while, I heard this big truck pull up out front. And I said, they're out there. That's the guy out here. So we went out and talked to him. And as he was doing, he asked what the issue was and all that. He said, I don't show a
work order
for you. And I said, well.
He said, why?
I said, look, can you look at Monday and see if you see a work order? He said, I don't see any work order for you on Monday either.
And then he said, well, why are you here? He said, well, why were you standing outside? Were you waiting for me? We were like, it was really funny.
Yeah, we were doing a standoff. Well, why are you standing out on the porch looking for me and stuff?
But anyway,
like
he had this something that came in and said that there was a disconnected wire or something at 2770 Field Creek
in
our address. Anyway, so he said, well, were you expecting me? Because he said, I didn't have a work order, and you weren't supposed to be expecting me. And I said, well, this is what we got. Anyway, so we said.
He said, without a work order, you're not supposed to be getting the
any work done like this.
The man coming to do the work's on the way. But anyway, he was there about maybe what, an hour and a half maybe?
Oh, at least, maybe two.
Maybe
anyway,
2 hours.
And we were talking to him about the Lord. I mean, I told him, I said, well, this is an answer to prayer. You know, we believe in the answer to prayer. So we just start talking to him about Jesus. That's really right. Why we got into this story in the first place. I know you were wondering.
It's not.
Then why are they telling this story? I know you're thinking, why are they telling this story? No, it's all because, you know, no matter where you are, whether somebody comes to your house, you go to a restaurant, you go to the gas station, or whether you go to school, or whether you go to work, talk about Jesus.
That's right.
So we were telling, we passed her church, and we were telling him where it was, and about Javan and Dora, and her father and mother passed her church in Mexico, and we're just talking to him all about the Lord, and he just listened to us. Y'all, I believe we planted seed.
Oh, yeah.
This man wasn't supposed to be at our house. He was.
When he got the problem fixed and rang the doorbell and said, I want you to come look at it and see everything else, had everything down, you know, 2 or 3 feet under the ground, wasn't going to happen today again. You know, he said, so go get your laptop and see. Check it out. So I did. And I closed it up, and I reached over and gave him this big monster
hug. And then I gave him a big hug.
He
didn't hardly know what to think.
He was like this. He didn't know what. I'm not used to that.
No, but the point is, y'all, that... No matter where you go or what you do, you can shine the light of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Amen.
Wasn't that a good story? Anyway, so, but what was even funnier, so before he got there, I thought, well, I'm going to call and see if somebody's really coming and see if they show a work order. Then I'm back to this computer thing, and I'm like, this computer voice. I'm like, okay, forget this. We're just going to stand out here and see if he comes. And he was so shocked when we were just standing out there. He said, well, you were expecting me? He said, I don't know why I wasn't supposed to be here. But you know what? God had him there.
That's right.
So that we could talk to him. And we planted seed.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm telling you. Y'all, shine the light of Jesus. Show koinonia.
Right.
And let that love spread out. Even when somebody shows up you aren't expecting.
That's right.
And they're not expecting you to be there. You know,
but that says to me is that on that work order, if it was not there for Monday, we would go come home, find no internet on
because
Monday, you know,
there was no work order.
No work order.
So he was a miracle that came to. That's one of our April blessings. Because you know what? It's sad to say, but you can't live without internet.
Oh my goodness!
This day and time,
it's hard.
You really can't. I mean, we can't. Lord have mercy. All right, so let's read
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13.
Yeah, we're going to read a few more scriptures on how to...
Yeah, we come into a close here.
How to have koinonia.
But exhort one another daily. How often?
Daily.
While it's still called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhorting one another in the Lord and exhorting one another in the Word daily. That means daily. You know, and like we said, we exhorted him in the Word on Saturday.
We did.
And it shows you God will give you as many opportunities as you will do something with. He will see you faithful in those opportunities.
Right.
Then he will continue to give you opportunities. And man, when you walk away from those things, your heart is rejoicing because this person really doesn't know, we knew yesterday, doesn't really have a relationship with the Lord, but he's been introduced to the Lord, and he's seen the Christians that are not glum-faced and hunched over and like, you know, oh, we're just a bunch of Christians. No, man, we were full of the zeal and the joy.
Oh, yeah, we were so happy.
Yes, that's right.
And we told him, man, this is a miracle. And he said, well, I've never been called a miracle before.
He
said,
that's what he said.
But I know that the Lord imparted something into that man yesterday.
That's right.
And the main thing is, y'all, be instant in season and out of season. Even when you're not expecting something or you don't know who you're going to come in contact with, be ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone who you see. Because, I mean, that's just what we do. And I'm telling you, there is fruit that's what you call fruit that remains. You know, if you operate in koinonia, we were talking a few weeks ago about having fruit that remains. That's fruit that remains.
That's right.
It's just like that man. I wish there was a way we could go back and talk to that police officer that helped David, because David has led so many people to the Lord.
Yeah. I mean,
so many all over the world.
That would have been 15, 20 years ago.
I mean, I mean, I know he doesn't know, because David doesn't know how to get in touch with him.
Never did.
But if it had not been for that man, David might still be drug dealing.
Or in jail,
whatever, or in jail,
life.
Or dead, or something. You never know.
Exactly right.
All right, exactly. So I think we're at Hebrews 10:24.
Okay, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves
together. That is so good.
As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
All right, and we talked about this a while ago, but the verse for this is 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light, we were talking about walking in the light, letting your light shine. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have just a few more verses and then we can close.
Okay, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
You know what, that's like that threefold cord. You know, you're blessing one another, but then together you're blessing the Lord and he's blessing you. And it's that, you know, when we talked about in John chapter 17, when he says, I and them and you and me and we and them and they and us and, you know, all that love and all that good stuff. That's what this is talking about. Fellowshipping with one another. And then truly that koinonia of fellowship then goes back to Jesus and the Father. So in
First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And we ended with this one last week, but I want to end with this one again, where it says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, y'all, let's get some koinonia going. Not only here with one another here, but with the people outside of
these
here.
Four walls.
Absolutely.
Here. Four walls of your house.
Absolutely. Amen. Glory be to God. Man, God is so good. All right, why don't we all stand up if you would? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The altar call. Thank you, Father.
All right, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you've never been born again. You need to be born again before you walk out the doors of this church right now. So if that's you, we want to call out, have our prayer ministers come down front, if you would, please. One of these prayer ministers will be glad to minister to you. Anyone you choose up here when you come up here, and let them lead you in a prayer of salvation, lead you in receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, the word says you must be born again. If you want to be in heaven, you want to go to heaven, you want to spend eternity with the Lord, the only way to get there is that you must be born again. You must have that born again experience where you exchange your old sin nature for the nature of the Lord. He's got a good exchange for you. Your old sin nature, he takes it. It's like a car. When you take old beat up, rattled up car and take it in for a swap on you know, use it to, as a, when you go buy another car, you see this shiny, really nice car, and you bring this thing up, say, now, what kind of value you gonna give me towards the purchase price of this new car? Well, Jesus, he takes that old sin nature, and he takes that sin nature, and he removes it as far as the east is from the west, and he gives you his nature, the nature of God. What a swap. What a swap. You come out on the good end of that deal no matter which way you look at it. So if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, your trespasses, and you want to be walking in the light just like he is in the light, then come down here and let one of our prayer ministers minister salvation to you. They'll be glad to do that. And also, let me, a second invitation. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you're missing out on the power. You need the power. In order for your walk with the Lord to really have a great effect, the maximum effect, you need the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. When God's where the Lord can give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge, can just prophetic words and stuff to minister to people. And it just, it's totally amazing, but it's a power-packed life. And I've said this many times before, Paul, the disciple Paul, said, I don't come to you in eloquence of speech, means I don't come to you using $20 words and trying to impress you, but I come to you in the demonstration of the power of God. The power of God is to be had, to be utilized, and to be demonstrated for a lost and dying world. Boy, the people, the clamor. You know, the world looks for power in crazy movies and power, you know, action figures, everything else. Power, it's built inside of man to desire the power of power. It's built in them to desire the supernatural. The supernatural, not just power itself to be had, but the supernatural. If you give them, if you reach out to people, have koinonia, love on them, and you find out they're not baptized and they're not saved, you get them saved and then tell them about the power.
Amen.
That power that has been put inside, the desire for that has been put in every human being. And it'll get satisfied, I guarantee you. When they start praying in tongues, they start laying hands on the sick and see them recover, they won't shut up about it. And they shouldn't shut up about it. But if that's you here today, you want either one of those invitations to be born again or to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, please come on down and let one of our prayer ministers minister to you.
All right, if you're online, you can call us. If that is you and you need the salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can call us at 404-697-5215.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what? Before we go, we have been notified that there is a tornado, I believe it's a watch, in Lawrenceville right now. We're going to speak over that. You know, we have authority to speak to the storms.
Yes.
And we can say, peace be still, and they have no right.
Did Jesus speak to the storms?
Now, yes.
Yeah, so, what did he say? Peace be still.
And listen, I'm telling you, two quick examples of that. We had one where they were literally calling out the street that was right next to us that we're right off of. And they said, there is a tornado coming to, and they named the street that we lived on, and it's heading your way now. Take cover.
On WSB
and so
radio.
Javan contacted me. He said, they just called out your street. And so we were praying. We went downstairs. We saw the thing. We commanded it
came
not to touch us.
Fence,
we watched it go over
hit
the house.
Our driveway. And didn't tear up our driveway, but bounced and
went
all the way over to the other side of the neighborhood.
And it didn't
now,
come near.
It blew their driveway up.
Nobody got hurt.
Nobody
but do you know?
Yeah.
We commanded that thing not to touch us.
Yeah.
We didn't lose a limb.
Yeah.
We didn't lose a limb.
Not a
now,
twin.
I'm telling you, that happened. And then when Javan and Dory got married in New Mexico, and the storms were coming, hail and tornadoes and terrible, terrible thunderstorms. And Dora spoke to it, and she said, I am having a garden wedding, and no storm is going to stop it. And that's exactly what happened all the way around that wedding, all the way around that top of that mountain in that garden. The storm, you could see it everywhere. And I mean, I'm telling you, it was not a cloud above us. And then when we went in after the wedding, after we took all of the furniture and everything in, then immediately it hit, and we were already finished. We were in fellowshipping in the reception hall, and all of a sudden we looked out, and
all hail broke loose
and covered the ground. Yeah. It covered the ground. But they had their wedding, y'all, I'm telling you.
6 inches of hail out there.
So I want you to stand in agreement with us right now. We're going to take authority over this. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we command these tornadoes to dissipate. They will not. It will not happen. We pray safety over all the people in Lawrenceville and any part of Georgia. And any area in Cobb County and all of these counties. In Fayette County, all of them. We speak to it. And we speak to all. Everybody's homes are protected. They're lands are protected in the name of Jesus. No storm, no weapon formed shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We come together in agreement and we know that it is done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you and we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Now, we shared that while you were still watching online in case you live in any of those areas. You speak to that and you command it just like we did. And no storm can affect your land.
That's
or
right.
Your house or your family in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to say by the live stream. Live stream, thank you so much for joining us today from wherever you're joining from. We will be back next Sunday.
Next Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, U.S. time. And we just hope we just know your week is going to be filled with blessings. And we speak blessings over you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Bye-bye. Have a blessed week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hallelujah.